Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It was a rough weekend in Los Angeles, but now the Cubs hope some home cooking. Get them back in the NLCS. Game three tonight, scene shifts to Wrigley Field. We'll begin our 2 hours of pregame coverage with Sports Talk Live on location at the Brick House Tavern overlooking the park at Wrigley. The show starts right now. And welcome in here. We're at the Brick House Tavern overlooking the new park at Wrigley in advance of Cubs and Dodgers. I'm David Kaplan. Everything brought to you by our friends at the Chevy Silverado. Joining me on the panel, he's David Hall, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune. Also catch him on the score. Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000. And the great baseball writer from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. We will get some Bulls coverage in a little later because things are wild and crazy around there. David, Cubs come back in an 0-2 hole, 83%. Don't advance, go falling down 0-2, but this is not the average team.
It's not the average team. They've been in a similar situation last year, both down 2-1 in this series in the NLCS and also to the Indians. You get a different sense, though, this year maybe, but you can't rule it out. I think Kyle Hendricks maybe comes back strong tonight, reevaluate tomorrow, but you never want to count out this Cubs team, no matter how bleak it was in L.A.
Yeah, you do have to go game by game, and this one does set up well for them. I think they're definitely going to hit a little bit better against Yu Darvish. They have their lefty lineup in. I like that. Just getting back at home, getting past all that, you know, not nonsense, but the travel stuff that happened and the tough series. That was a 12-round bout. And, you know, they could have won either one of those first two games. It wasn't like – but they just didn't get that break. They didn't get that break that a team that's tired, that can't use their starters – they needed something good to happen for them. It didn't. They didn't make it happen. So I think tonight is definitely a winnable game. Then you go from there.
Bob, what about your thoughts? Yu Darvish is really good. They went out and acquired him at the deadline. That's been a nice addition. What do you see as the big key for tonight?
Well, I think Darvish is the whole key to the Dodgers World Series hopes. He's got a soft reputation. He pitched lights out against Arizona Division Series. We'll see. Talking to scouts, I say, are the Dodgers really pitching that well? They said, no, the Cubs are missing a lot of pitches, particularly by the starters. You know, they can't be that bad of hitters. So Dodgers aren't pitching that great for this team to be shut down.
Chris Bryant, 13 strikeouts, 28 postseason at-bats. I mean, that's got to start to change. You don't know what's forcing it, what's causing it. Is it his approach? He picked the worst possible time to get in this kind of a slump.
I'd say even worse is Rizzo, because he doesn't strike out compared to the walk. Two walks, nine strikeouts. That is not Anthony Rizzo. Now, a lot of tough lefties so far. So, again, the righty up there today, maybe things change a little bit.
Are you surprised that the Cubs scuffled through two games offensively? They pitched okay.
You know, they looked bad, too, against the Nationals. You know, the offense wasn't there. I think that team got beat up so bad by the Nationals, particularly with the rainout. Then that, you know, that crazy game five, you know, they really haven't recovered. You know, maybe now with the off day, a true off day, being back at home, if they're going to ever recover tonight's the night.
I don't know if any team you hear or any manager or coach looks at rest as such a strength as Joe Maddon does. I mean, you look at this, sort of reminds me a little bit about the All-Star break. When they're going into the All-Star break, there were two games below 500, right? And everyone said, we need some time off. We need a break. You had the same sort of sense this day off that they had yesterday. They feel like that's going to create kind of the revive now. And I think if that's the case, then it's a different series. If that's not, you see some of the same sort of, you know, a
malaise.
Yeah, that's a good word, Cap. I mean, that's the way their approaches at the plate have not been the same.
The Dodgers
pitching has a lot to do with that.
Well, the evidence is in the results. I mean, we're talking about still bullpen arms, right? They're bullpen arms. Even if it's the top-ranked bullpen, to not have a hit or a walk in two games against a bullpen that's pitched many innings against six different relievers, something else was going on. But the Dodgers do execute a game plan as well as any pitching staff I've seen this year, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, very good pitching staff. They have a lot of depth. But now, you know, they've used the DL more than anybody. Now they got to play three straight games in Chicago, so those relievers are going to get tired. Those starters are going short. Let's see how these relievers do back to back to back.
Right, Culberson not in the lineup tonight. He is not at shortstop. He played pretty well the first two ball games. Are you surprised he's out of the lineup? And there are some changes. Puig all the way up to the cleanup spot.
Yeah, you know, they're big on numbers, big sabermetric team here. And, Puig's been hot. I mean, he's carried that team. You look at that lineup, they only got about three real good players in that lineup.
How are they doing it? You look at it, it's like, how is this team so good?
Right.
And yet, you know, you look at, you know, they're not necessarily guys that you are, you know, perennial all-stars or anything like that, but you know, they're just really consistent.
And each team uses – it's the battle of the computers. Which computer spit out the better lineup? Because Joe switched up his lineup a little bit. Some strategy there involved, trying to get Schwarber up to face Darvish a couple, three times before that great bullpen comes in there. So we'll see. Zobrist leading off, Rizzo and Bryant. You know, you can move around the deck chairs, but it doesn't matter. Three or four guys have to hit no matter where they're batting.
All right, here's Joe Maddon from earlier today. Take a listen to the Cubs skipper on his new lineup.
I wanted to get one more lefty in there, and that would have been to get Javi out, as an example. And I hate playing any game of baseball without Javi on the field because he's such a dynamic defender. He's been a big part of our defense, and hopefully grab a lead and get him in the game later. But put those two guys on the top primarily. If you looked at the way they're matching up things, if you put those two guys down lower, there's less probability of them hitting against a right-handed pitcher in the latter part of the game. We'll see. If you grab a lead, it becomes moot. If you don't, it becomes more critical. So that was part of the thought process. We've done this before. We've done it before with KB3 and Rizzo 4. So the guys have seen this method. Again, it was more to put Zoe and Schwarbs in an advantageous position as much as anything else.
You like the new lineup?
I don't know if he went far enough, Cap. I mean, I think they're not hitting so much. I would have liked to see Ian Happ. He's got four postseason at-bats. He had a strong rookie year. Little pop, little speed, little unpredictability. I'm not sure what Hayward gives you. Defensively, obviously, speaks for itself. But I think he started the process. I think you had to sit Javi. He's struggling so much. You take a chance at second base. I guess this is improvement because you had to do something. You couldn't just stand pat.
Yeah, same thing. Ian Happ could have been in right field for Hayward if you really want to go full-on offense. But at least he did do the lefty thing just like he did last round. Didn't really work last round. But, you know, it's the middle of the order that really has to get going, Wilson Contreras included.
I would have stuck with Baez. You know, he did draw that walk. I think kind of one hand how many times he's actually walked on a 3-2 pitch.
Against the righty, too, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was amazing. I just thought, no, keep this guy in there. He's still special.
When you look at the other night, Joe took a lot of heat. I was listening to Jim Bowden on my way in on MLB Network, and he said, I'll still tell you, Wade Davis should have pitched in that situation. Joe is emphatic.
You don't have to reference anybody else except you gave him some heat. You started it. I mean, and it was legitimate.
Yeah, but Bowden's got credibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, thanks.
But it was legitimate, Cap, but I think you reacted in the way that everybody watching reacted.
But see, I wasn't even saying that Wade Davis should have pitched. I get the explanation that he wasn't available unless it was a save. But if I'm going to get beat, I'm not getting beat with that guy against that guy. No shot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I love John Lackey, competitor, but he's never done this in his life. You didn't trust him to throw a single pitch in that crazy game five. And yet you got him in this key situation. Go with Strope. And if you want to, you know, go with Arrieta or something like that. Just to go into
Yeah, I would
game.
Have gone with Rondon. Strope had already pitched.
Rondon.
Yeah. Look, I know he gave up a homer to Taylor the night before. He also struck Justin Turner out.
He did, but you remember the home run. You know, that's what you're going to remember if you bring in Rondon. I like the idea of Arrieta. If you're going to go to a starter, why not go to a guy? I mean, he could still pitch game four if he would have pitched the other night. Would have been unorthodox, but what's more unorthodox than handing the ball to a 38-year-old career starter for the second straight night, doing something he's never done before.
Who's never pitched in back-to-back games.
Never before.
I think we're splitting hairs. It was a little bit of pick your poison. Maybe it was the wrong call. I mean, you got to put some of it on Lackey. He knows enough not to walk Taylor. Now, I know he didn't try to, but throw it down the middle because Justin Turner's going to hit anybody. So, I think it's a little bit of splitting hairs. It wasn't a perfect situation all weekend. Short start by Lester and Quintana because of what happened. Couldn't use Davis the way you wanted because of what happened. Talk about the first round. So the whole weekend was a rough one for the manager. Don't disagree. If you end up with Lackey versus Turner, you're in trouble.
Surprised that around baseball we are seeing so many starters not go five innings deep into ball games has been rare.
Yeah, I mean, the division series with Cubs Nationals was the only series where every starter went five innings. It was actually refreshing. You got to go deep in games. You're going to burn out that bullpen. That's what the Dodgers did these first two games. They can't do this in games 3, 4, or 5. That bullpen's going to get washed out.
Why do you think Dave Roberts did that? 79 pitches for Hill.
Kershaw, 89.
What's that? Is that a strategy not to face him a third time? Is that it?
No, I think Kershaw they're worried about. He's not the Kershaw of old. Still a very good pitcher, but not the Kershaw. And I just think he's pressed that bullpen so much, they can't keep pitching like
but
this.
But that's though. The thing. He can trust his bullpen. When Maddon does it, that's what my problem was with game one. When you pull Quintana, sure, he struggled in that fifth inning. But you're giving the game to a bullpen that you have no reason to trust. It's not the Dodgers' bullpen.
I agree with you, David. He should have left Quintana in for one more.
At least
one
let
more.
Him start the inning.
Lester was a little different. He
I thought
really
Lester
gassed.
Was washed out.
He was really
but
gassed.
Those are two different scenarios.
Yeah, it was.
Quintana was locked in, and I know that the fifth inning hurt him, but let him start the sixth, and maybe you don't get the Rondon. Maybe you don't have that situation come up, and maybe you avoid what happened.
After every Cubs game, stay tuned for Cubs Post Game Live, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, with David Kaplan and David DeJesus. Hear from Cubs players inside the locker room. Get a live look inside Joe Maddon's post game press conferences and more.
And welcome back here on Sports Talk Live. We're at the Brick House overlooking the park at Wrigley on a beautiful night. Got baseball. It's going to be the Cubs and the Dodgers. Game three of the 2017 National League Championship Series. Cubs in the NLCS for the third consecutive year. And Ben Zobrist will be leading off tonight in the lineup. He's kind enough to join us before game three. Ben, take us through the process of being a leadoff hitter. David DeJesus always talks to us about trying to grind pitches and only pick out what he wants, otherwise letting it go early in a ballgame. What's your approach?
Well, he was a better leadoff hitter than I ever have been, so his approach is probably better to take than mine. But, however, it varies based on the pitcher, what the pitcher has, how I'm feeling that day at the plate, and also whether I've seen the ball recently or not very well. So I tend to take more pitches. If I haven't seen the ball recently, I want to let the guys behind me see more pitches. But, occasionally if a guy's got some really good electric stuff like Strasburg did, I'm aggressive early in the count. So it just kind of depends on what the game plan is that particular day. And I'm not going to share any secrets on Darvish tonight.
I absolutely would not expect you to. One of your teammates, I won't name who it is, said to me, he goes, I've been around a lot of guys. I have never been around a guy like Ben Zobrist. He's the most professional player in every aspect on and off the field I've ever dealt with. When you hear that, what does being a professional mean to you?
Well, my first thought is he's probably fibbing a little bit to make me sound a little bit better than I am. But my second thought is that, I think professional is just about being consistent, going about your business every day. Working hard every day and, doing every aspect of the game, caring about every aspect, even the ones that aren't as glamorous. And, when you take care of those things, the things on the field tend to take care of themselves.
Talk to me about going into game three. You guys lost two tough ball games in Los Angeles, and now you come home to play a game three against a very, very good team. What's the mindset? Does it change at all because you're in an 0-2 hole, or it's one batter, one pitch, one out at a time?
Yeah, no, it's stay in the moment. I think we can't think about what happened the last couple games. Can't think about what's ahead. We got to think about each pitch, trying to have good quality at bats tonight, scoring more runs than we have been, and really just getting things going the way we know we're capable of getting them going. So that's going to, the most important thing we can think about is tonight and, each moment of the game that we have to focus on.
In terms of being in Chicago, and you made a comment to me on an interview, 8-9 months ago, where you said, I'll be bear-hugging Cub fans forever. I will always go down now as a Cub because of what happened in 2016. Is this experience playing here everything you dreamed of or far surpasses what you had visualized?
It's incredible. It really is. I think Dempster said it once that every player should get a chance to be a Cub at some point in his career. If they can make that happen, it's a special experience to be a Cub. And, these electric atmospheres, this ballpark, it's one of the most special things you get to do as a baseball player. And we cherish every moment of it. And we look forward to the moments coming up in the game tonight. So it's one of those days. Beautiful outside. I think the fans are going to be electric. It's going to be exciting.
Did you ride your bicycle here today in uniform?
I didn't. It's going to be a late night, so I didn't really want to ride back in the dark. But, maybe if we have a day game coming up here at some point again before the end of the season here, maybe I'll be riding my bike again. You never know.
That has to be something where you're going to look back 15 years from now and go, hey, hon, to your wife, remember when I rode my bike like a little leaguer? That was awesome.
I hope I'll still be riding my bike at that point. You got to keep a little bit of little kid in you at all times. So that's something I hope I continue to do.
Ben, best of luck tonight. Hope you guys pick up a big W. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Cap.
Catch a brand new episode of Beer Money, presented by Coors Light, Chicago's favorite sports trivia show, where fans are put to the test for a chance to take home cash. Every Sunday night at 7 on CSN.
Curtis Granderson is going to join us right now from the field. He's a Chicago guy, gives a lot back to our community, but right now he's wearing enemy colors. He's a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Curtis, thank you for taking time. What is this moment like for you to be back in this city playing in the NLCS for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have a really legit team to win a World Series with?
Well, it's awesome. Anytime I get a chance to come back home in Chicago, looking forward to it, and especially to be in here in this situation makes it even that much more enjoyable. Got a bunch of friends and family that are going to be out. Already heard a couple people from UIC letting me know that they're in the house, and it's going to be a lot of fun to go out there and get Game 3 underway tonight.
What is the vibe like in your clubhouse? You come in here knowing you're going to face a real quality pitcher in Kyle Hendricks and a team that's angry, a team that feels like they should have taken a game in California. What's the vibe in the Dodger clubhouse?
Well, everybody understands and knows that when you get a chance to go into the other team's ballpark, it's a whole different atmosphere. And the Chicago Cubs fans, obviously, are some of the best in the world. And this team plays very well here in Wrigley Field. But we know at the same time, we're also confident in our ability and the things that we can take care of and get taken care of on the field. But it's going to be a battle tonight. I'm sure the fans are going to be rocking, going to be enjoying. I already saw a couple Dodger fans in Chicago, which is definitely a great sign for us. But obviously, the Cubs are going to have us outnumbered in the stands tonight.
What is it like having Yu Darvish as a teammate? This guy was a big acquisition at the deadline, and he's going into free agency. This is a big start for not only the Dodgers, but for him personally.
He's been a great guy to play against. You know, I'm glad he's on our team right now, and definitely a tough opponent to go up there and have to face. But, you know, he's a guy that competes. He likes the big moments. He's definitely pitched well for a very long time since coming over here to the major leagues. Like you said, he's a free agent at the end of this year. Who knows what the market's going to be for him this offseason, but he's definitely an asset to any organization that gets a chance to get him right now. We have him, and we're excited to have him on the mound tonight.
Last one for you, and we'll let you get back to your pregame prep. When the other night, 29 years to the day, it was Justin Turner doing what Kirk Gibson had done. What was that moment like from your perspective, sitting there watching that unfold at Dodger Stadium?
That was a lot of fun, you know, getting a chance to be in a situation where you have an opportunity to win the ball game. Puig did an amazing job of starting the inning off, getting on base. Then we had a walk to go ahead and make it first and second. Justin Turner, one of the best hitters in the game, just did what he did. Tried to get a pitch that he can handle, put a good swing on it. He was able to drive it out of the ballpark. And that's the thing that you go ahead and carry as you try to move forward, is try not to do too much. He wasn't up there trying to hit a home run. He was trying to get a pitch that he can handle. He got that, and he didn't miss it.
Hey, by the way, you have a big charity event. You do so much in our city, and another one coming up. Tell us about it.
Grandgiving.org. Check it out, everybody at home. Watch. I know you guys are going to be watching the game, but grandgiving.org for all the information. This is our fifth annual Grand Giving fundraiser here in Chicagoland. We try to help fight all the food insecure issues that are happening here. One in five people don't know where their next meal is coming from, and that includes all the kids here in Chicago. So think about all the different things that you've gone through, going through your day struggling, knowing you didn't have a meal, and there are ways you can help out, especially during Thanksgiving, during the giving time of the season. Help out. Mariano's has been a big sponsor for us. The Greater Chicago Food Depository is who we help benefit. But grandgiving.org, check us out.
Curtis, thanks for the time, man. You're always very generous. You're great to our community.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.